have you guys here worshiping with us this morning. I haven't preached in a while. It's been like over a month or so. Every time I was the turn, because if you guys didn't know, Pastor Tim preaches 2 weeks and then I preach 1 week. We kind of rotate back and forth. And every time it was up my turn, there would be like some special kind of event that we had. And so I just kind of, my time of preaching was kind of got passed along. But it's good. I'm glad I have this chance to be here again, to preach and to share God's word with you. Hope you guys are equally as excited to be able to hear from God's word. If you guys are here for the first time, or if you guys don't remember, just a really quick recap again of what we are doing and what we're going through. We're going through a new series called Loving One Another, and it's based off of these one another texts that we find in the Bible. And there's different ones and that we see. And so last week, Pastor Tim, he preached and he talked about that we are to welcome one another in Christ, right? And there's this idea of us needing to really look outside of our own kind of little circles, right? We're supposed to be welcoming to those newcomers who come, those within the church, our neighbors, and what that attitude kind of looks like. And so I hope that we are doing that. I noticed that last week, at least I felt that, you know, people were a lot more outgoing and kind of welcoming people, which is really great. And I hope that doesn't stop just because we heard it last week, but that we'll continue to do that. That we'll continue to kind of, again, look outside of our just circle of friends, that we'd reach those who, you know, we might not always hang out with, people of different ages and people of different even the services and stuff like that. That would be just a church, a place, a people that is really welcoming and loving one another. Today, the title of the next chapter, if you guys didn't know, we're going through, again, this book by Gary Sitzer Love One Another. The chapter that we're going through is called To Be Subject to One Another, or Submit to One Another. But before we go ahead and get into that, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into this message. Father God, I want to thank you so much again just for this chance that we have to come into your house, to come into this place, just to worship you together. We just pray that you would continue to open up our hearts, our minds, just to the message, the truth that you want us to hear this morning. I pray that you would remove any distractions that we may have, and that we can, again, just hear your word, hear your truth today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When I hear the word submit or be subject to, it usually comes with a negative kind of connotation. And I don't know if you guys have that same thing. When you say, you need to submit to somebody, or I'm supposed to submit to somebody, usually has a negative connotation. These are some pictures in my head that kind of come up, right? I thought about the one on the top left, or for you guys left, right, for me, is like MMA, you know, those mixed martial arts, those people at USC, they like try to put each other in submission holds. You know, they try to like get somebody to tap out, kind of a thing. Or maybe it's this idea of oppression, right? I'm going to like oppress you. I'm going to put my power over you, and you have to do whatever I say. Or maybe on the flip side of it, you know, you're thinking, what does it mean to submit? And a lot of times the idea comes up that, oh, I'm just going to be like a doormat, right? They're just, all right, well, do whatever you want. You can just walk all over me, and I'm just going to, you know, go along with it. I have no say, I have no, you know, power, no anything. You know, I'm just do blindly whatever it is. And so a lot of times, you know, that's the idea that people think about when they think about submission, right? When they think about being subject to one another, putting yourself underneath somebody, these are kind of the images, the thoughts that can come up. But the Bible does say this, right? The Bible does say this. If you guys, the passage that we're in, and it's in your bulletins as well, but it's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, just a little snippet here. It says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, or be subject to one another, submit to one another, out of reverence for Christ. And I know that this is something that a lot of times people, when they hear it, again, they're like, I don't know if I want that. You know, if that's what it means to be a Christian, then no thanks, right? I don't want to submit. I want my own way, right? I want to do what I want. I am all about, you know, just making sure I'm okay. And so I don't want to, you know, submit to anyone. But what does it really mean to submit? What does it really mean to be subject to one another? So a quick kind of word study for you guys. Okay, the word submit comes from this Greek word, huptasso, Okay, and it's a combination of two little words, hupto, which means and tasso. Hupto, which means under, and tasso, which means order or arrangement. Order or arrangement. And so Gary Sitzer, in his book, if you guys have it, if you guys are reading it, on page 40, he writes this. Okay, and this is his definition of submission, and this is what we're going to be going off of today. Okay, he says this: to be subject to one another implies that we choose to order our lives under the circumstances, relationships, and roles in which we find ourselves. In essence, to be subject to one another implies that we acknowledge the necessity of social order, accept our place within it, and transform that social order through the power of radical obedience and sacrificial love. Okay? And so it's a different way to really think about submission. Okay? So he kind of backs it up, and even before we talk about what it means to submit, he talks about this idea of order, okay, and that God is a God of order. Okay, God is a God who is not just kind of randomly throwing things out there, it's not chaos, but he's mindful about putting things kind of in place, and there is an order, and there's a kind of a hierarchy of things that happens, okay? An example that Sitzer gave that can make sense, right, is that idea of creation, right? If you guys look at how God created the world, there was an order to things, and this order wasn't random, okay? God could have made people first, but what would happen if he did that? They would just be floating in the middle of nothingness with no air to breathe, and they would die because nothing was formed. God just said, I want to create man first, because man, you know, that's my main, most important thing. I'm going to create man, and then they're going to be created, and then they're just going to die because there's nothing there to, you know, for them. They're just floating in nothingness. But God had a plan, right? He thought that ahead. He said, all right, well, I'm going to create light, right? I'm going to create, you know, the earth, and then there's all these things, division and all that stuff. Eventually, that leads to, right, humans being on earth and a perfect place for us to live because everything is already done ahead of time, right? And so if you guys think about anything, idea of, you know, baking a cake, right? You can't just get all the ingredients, throw it into the oven, and say, I'm going to bake it first, and then take it out, and then mix everything together. You know, that's not going to happen. Right? There's order that needs to kind of happen, right, in order for things to work, to make sense, right? And so God is a God of order, and God has thought these things out, and he has said that, you know, there is something that is good that I want, okay, and this is how he made it. Now, when it comes to relationships, I know this gets a little bit more tricky, right? Because people are like, well, what, you know, okay, now it comes to, well, there's somebody who's higher up, who's in a position of quote-unquote authority, and there's others who are in the position of submission, right, or in the lower position. And a lot of times people don't like that, right? They don't like this picture. But we see that this is also an important concept to have, that there needs to be, at times, you know, places where there is this structure, there is someone who is in charge, and there are people who are following and doing these things. You can take a look at it from both ways. You can have this idea that there are too many cooks in the kitchen, right? If everyone wants to be a leader, then a lot of times they're going to start butting heads. Things aren't going to happen because they're not working together, right? One person wants to do this, one person wants to do that. They're going in different directions, and nothing is happening, right? So if you think about, you know, cook, right? One person wants to make something savory, something sweet, a soup, someone everything, and then you just mix it all together. It's going to taste disgusting because it doesn't work like that, right? You need that order. The other side of it, too, let's say, okay, well, there should have been no order. Everyone should just, you know, then there's this idea that, okay, well, let's just always just submit to one another, right? Oh, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. No, you go first. Nothing's going to happen, right? If we all kind of just line up at the door, right, service ends, everyone goes to the door, and we're like, okay, no, okay, you go first. Because I'm going to humble myself, right? I'm going to submit to you, you go first. And then no one's going to leave, right? Everyone's just going to be stuck in here, right? So sometimes, at certain things, you need structure in that way. You need somebody to be in charge. You need people to follow. And that's just kind of how it is, right? That's how things kind of work. Now, Jesus and the Apostle Paul kind of writes about these different kind of categories, and we see it back then in the biblical times, right, and also today as well. And the ones that he points out, there's three kind of examples that they give, right? Is one of parents and children, one's of this master and slave, and one's of husbands and wives. And I know that a lot of times these things, again, can kind of come up like, oh, like I don't know about this, especially the husbands and wives one. And I know there's a lot of people can be turned off by that. In fact, I have a friend who grew up in the church who is no longer says that they're a Christian because she did not like that the Bible said that the wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. And she's like, if that's a God, you know, who wants that, I'm not going to believe in this type of God. But unfortunately, I think that she got it wrong in terms of the idea of what submission looks like and what that looks like in the context of a marriage. But we see this happening kind of just in our everyday lives, right? If you just look at your own lives, you are probably one or the other, or sometimes both, in both kind of positions. We're all children, right? We all have parents, and so we're all in that underneath your parents thing. Some of you are parents, so now you are parents and you have children who are under, quote-unquote, under you. Some are bosses, some are employees, students and teachers. You have a lot of kind of different, these relationships that you guys might have. You're on a team, maybe. You know, you have the conductor and the people who are in the orchestra. All these things, right? Kind of think about it. You're in these different relationships. Some people are in more higher position of power, and some are not, okay? The thing that needs to be important, I think we need to emphasize this again and again, is this, is that everyone is created equal. Okay, God has made each one of you equal in his sight. Okay, no one is better than the other. No one has more, like, worth than the other person. Okay, everyone is worth the same. Everyone is equal. But we are all different. And again, we all have this kind of different roles, different kind of places to be. You know, in just kind of our life stage, or when we're at, where we're at, that's what we're at. And we have to be able to, as Sitzer kind of points out, understand that, okay, there is this concept of social order, there is this concept of relationship that some are going to be just, quote-unquote, in a higher position than us, government in us, right? There's a president, we're not all presidents, right? There's laws, so we have to kind of, you know, order ourselves, submit to do that, to be underneath those in authority. Now, the idea of leadership is this, of submission is this, is that, you know, I'm going to say to the leader, whoever is in charge, that I am going to trust in your leadership. I'm going to trust that you have the best interest for me, right? I'm going to obey, I'm going to serve. I'm going to follow you because I believe in you, that you are doing what you're supposed to do as a leader. Unfortunately for us, we live in a broken world. You know, that would have been perfect if that's the case, if all the leaders are really being godly leaders and all the, you know, followers are being godly followers. Things would work perfectly. But unfortunately, we don't. We live in a broken world, right? And people do abuse their power, right? People take whatever it is, authority, and they kind of force other people to do what they want. Bosses are not all great bosses. They just kind of look out for themselves. You know, and then the workers, though, they don't do what the boss wants. They just kind of complain and kind of go behind the boss's back because they don't trust the leaders. Parents and children, you know, parents kind of just say, no, just because I'm your parent, so you have to do what I want because I'm your parent. No other reason for it, right? And then the kids don't want to listen to their parents. You know, I'm not going to trust you. I'm not going to do what you want. And so there's, you know, because there's not this kind of relationship, right? Husbands and wives, same thing. And then also, yeah, just whatever, student, teacher, all these different, again, all these different categories that we can be in. People, unfortunately, abuse their power, and so there isn't this right kind of a balance between what a leader should be doing and those following underneath, okay? So what does the Bible say about submission? What does the Bible say? What does it mean for us, right, to submit to one another, to be subject to one another, as the Bible says? And so Sitzer gives four things that we're going to look at. And the first thing that he says is that the idea of submission to subject one another is for everyone. Okay, this idea of being submit to one another, right? It's not just for one side. It's both sides submitting to one another. And so a lot of times I think it's easy for us to think about this and be like, okay, this is only for those in the quote-unquote position of lower position, right? Those are the people that are supposed to submit because that's their position. And then for us who are in a quote-unquote higher position, I don't need to listen to this. I don't need to worry about this. But the Bible says that we are to submit to one another, right? So there's this idea of mutual submission, of kind of humbling both of ourselves to one another. They're probably sleeping, but it looks like they're bowing to each other. But there's this idea of, you know, like, hey, you know, I am going to look out for your best interest, right? I am really going to, you know, not just be selfish. I'm not just going to do what I want because it's going to be, you know, I'm going to get something out of it. But I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to look out for you first. And if everyone is kind of doing that, then that is what God's desire is. Another thing that Sister kind of points out is that this needs to be a choice, okay, that you need to make. Again, this isn't natural for us. Our natural tendency is just to say, you know what? What's in it for me, right? Okay, I want to protect myself, right? I want to make sure that I'm cared for. I want to make sure that, you know, what I do is okay for me, right? And so it's hard for us to just mindfully just say, choose in my head, you know, that I'm going to, you know, actually put myself in a position, you know, that's underneath you. But that is what the Bible asks us to do, right? That this is a choice, right? That you need to choose. You need to actually put yourself in this position underneath somebody else. Okay? So that's kind of the first thing he says. It's a choice, but this is a choice for everyone to make. Okay? So those of you who are in quote-unquote positions of authority, those who are not, everyone, submit to one another. The second thing that he says is that we aren't supposed to do our part. Okay, we all have kind of, again, this role to play. We all have something that we're supposed to be in, and so we need to play that role, do that part, be whatever it is. If you're a leader, you need to lead, right? If you're a follower, you need to follow. That is very clear, to do that role. I want to throw in the Warriors, just because, go Warriors. Just kidding. Okay, yes. It's pretty exciting, right? If you guys don't know, the Warriors are on a historic run this year. They're second team to win 70 games, going for 73 to beat the Bulls record. They can still do it. But anyways, it's not just about the Warriors. I think what is neat about this team and about their organization is that there is this idea that people are really kind of going into, fitting into what their role is. If you look at the team, people know what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it well. They're not complaining about their minutes. They're not complaining about, you know, who gets the most shots up or whatever. But they're doing it, you know, really as a team. The thing is that's really cool also, if you guys know about it, is their organization, their management, their leadership. Their GM is Bob Myers. And a lot of times for the general managers, they're really just about themselves. They want to make all the decisions on their own. But the cool thing is that he has gotten a lot of smart people around him who know a lot of basketball, and he's willing to have all of these people sit together in a room and talk about their team and say, all right, everyone has their opinion. Everyone gets to say what they need to say. We might not always agree, but we're going to work together, and then eventually he does still make the decision. But you know, it's not just, I'm in charge, so you guys, I can just do whatever I want to do. You guys have to follow and obey. But anyways, it's kind of a cool picture, and I think this is what we would hope that as a church, as a fellowship group, as a people of believers, that we would be able to see that, hey, you know what, there are those in charge, there are those leaders, I'm going to listen, I'm going to trust in their kind of leadership, right, I'm going to trust that they're bringing us in the right direction, and I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to do whatever I can in my role, in whatever God has gifted me, right, in whatever area that God wants me to serve in, I'm going to do my best part in it, okay? The other thing that Sitzer kind of talks about, and this is what I'm going to call the Spider-Man, right, thing, is that with great power, right, comes great responsibility. And there is something to be said about that. In these positions of power, there's actually kind of a greater responsibility for those who are leaders, right? A lot of them fall upon them to make the calls, right? And there's greater responsibility for those in power. So we're going to look at the rest of Ephesians here, 5 to the first part of 6, and the three different kind of categories. So again, Paul talks about husbands and wives. He talks about parents and children and masters and slaves. You guys can probably, we can probably say that as bosses and workers, co-workers. but anyways, let's look at the first one. So he talks about husbands and wives, and he says this, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body as himself is Savior. For as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, so that he might present to the church himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle, or as such things, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands shall love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And so he talks first, right, to those, the wives, and he says, you know, you guys are supposed to submit. This is the word that we're talking about. Understand, in this place of the household, right, to put yourself in that position of saying, you know what, I trust the husband's leadership. I'm going to trust in that you're looking out for my best interest, and that you're going to do what you're supposed to do as a husband. So what are husbands supposed to do, right? You're supposed to give up your lives for your wives, pretty much, right? As Christ died for the church, as Christ gave up his life for us, husbands, in the same way, are to do that, to really say, you know what, I am pouring out my life to you. I'm giving up all of me to you. I'm protecting you. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you are, you know, built up. And kind of along the same line, right, that I'm going to love you like I love myself. And men, we love ourselves, right? We take care of ourselves, right? Hopefully. But this idea that, you know, we don't hate ourselves. We love ourselves, right? I love myself, right? And I'm going to take care of I love my food. I'm going to nourish myself. I'm going to nourish my body. In the same way that we're supposed to do that for our wives, right, as husbands. We're supposed to pour into them. We're supposed to guide them, lead them in terms of, like, spiritually, like, hey, you know what? Let's pray. You know, let's take that time together. Let's read God's word. I'm going to help you grow in your faith as well, you know, as a leader in this house, you know. Again, there's a mutual submission. Doesn't mean that he gets all the say, right? Hopefully there's good communication and talking and all that, working things out together. But the guys, the husbands, you need to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Me and May, I love her. I love her a lot. And this is something, you know, we're still learning. I think I'm still learning of what it means to really, you know, to be that leader, you know, for her. What does it mean to die for her, right? And I hope that in my life that I am really, again, looking out for her best interest, right? Really helping her to grow in her faith, encouraging her in her dreams, her what she desires, you know, that I'm supporting her in that way. But that I can also, you know, take responsibility and do what I need to do as a husband. So for all you husbands out there, you know, again, big challenge, big call. But really love your wives. Love your wives as Christ loved the church. Die for her. Right? Be willing to sacrifice yourself for her. Okay? The second thing that he talks about is this relationship between parents and children. So it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you do this, that things will go well with you, that you may live long in the land. So fathers, mothers, parents, do not provoke your children in anger, but to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So again, for the kids, you know, you guys are supposed to submit to your parents' authority to say, okay, again, I trust you guys that you are being a good parent to me. And so what are parents supposed to be doing, right? They're not supposed to provoke them in anger, but discipline them, bring them up, instruct them, teach them, train them. It means spending time with them. It means really understanding them, right? Knowing their personalities and how it makes them tick, and to get to know them and not just say, you know what, because I'm your parent, you have to do what I need to do, but, oh, you work better this way, you know, so I'm going to come alongside you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to try to correct and teach you and grow you, help you to grow in your faith and in your life. It's interesting for me because, again, I am now a parent as well, and so for the other side of me, this is my cute son, Joshua, JJ. And he's starting to be a little bit more independent in the sense of having his own opinions. And he's starting to, like, if he wants something, he's going, no, I want that. And he'll kind of, like, stay there, right? I'm trying, and this is also a learning, big learning process for me of how do I help him? How do I train him? How do I, you know, help him? He has so much to learn still, and one of the things I'm starting to try to teach him is, you know, how do we, you know, clean up after you play with your toys? Or so here he is. He's playing with his toys, and then, like most kids, I think, right, once they're done with one thing, he's interested in something else, he'll drop it and leave and go and play with something else, right? So I'm trying to teach him, I try to, like, okay, let's clean up, let's move on before you play with this toy, let's clean up this one. And he doesn't always get it. We'll start putting half of the toys in the bucket, and then he'll dump it out. You know, like, hey, that's fun. But anyways, a lot of patience, a lot of time, but it's the idea of, hey, I'm going to train you, try to teach you what's best, what's right, and it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of patience. But that's what parents need to do. Right? You need to be able to humble yourself kind of in that way to come alongside your child to help them, train them to grow. The last example that he kind of gives is this with, if we want to do boss and worker, he says masters and slave. Back then, there's masters and slaves. This is bond servants or slaves. Servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and with trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not in the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with the good will as to the Lord and not for man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or he's free. Masters, do the same to them. Stop threatening them. Know who is both his and master, yours in heaven, that there's no partiality with them. The main point kind of this for those in positions of power or leadership, if you guys are bosses or you have people underneath you, that he kind of warns us, you know, no favoritism, right? Don't try to go out there and just be biased to people. Just because you like someone more than somebody else doesn't mean, you know, you should give them special privilege or not. For myself, again, if I kind of look at where my role is as a pastor, it would be to the youth kids, right? And so for me, to them, hopefully, I am serving and loving them without favoritism, all right? Even though, you know, there might be some who are more superstar-ish in their what they do or whatever, more out there wanting to serve, and some maybe more shy and whatever. I try not to, right? Favoritism, like, okay, because you guys never come out and never do anything, I'm going to ignore you completely, and I'm just going to focus all my time on those who do come out and who are doing stuff, right? No, right? As leaders, as a pastor, you know, I'm supposed to love everyone equally amount, right? To say that, hey, as a pastor, you know, you guys are my sheep, quote-unquote sheep, right? And I'm going to love each one of you guys equally amount. Hopefully that I'm doing that. Hopefully you guys do sense that. That I do care about each one of you the same. And I hope, again, that I'm doing my part to guide you, to serve you, to help build you guys up. Okay? So again, kind of know your role, okay? For those of you guys who are in the, as children, as wives, as workers, right? People who are followers. Hopefully you are following in submission. And for those of us who are in these leadership positions, that, hey, you're taking this responsibility seriously. God has a high calling for those of us in these and say, hey, you know, you take this seriously because there's more responsibility, more things for you to do. And so take that, okay? Sister goes on, the third point, really quick, he says that we are supposed to serve one another, and there's a whole another sermon that we're going to talk about serving one another in love. And so, but the idea that he kind of points on, he kind of touches on this, is this idea of mutual submission, is this idea of, again, looking out for one another. And I'm going to serve you, right? I'm going to see what I can do to help you. One of the things that he kind of says, and his example is, you know what? A way to do this is to put yourselves in the shoes of the other person, right? So to think about it and say, okay, as a child, okay, why is my parent telling me to do this, right? Let me put myself in their position. Well, maybe they are having a rough day, you know, and that they had to come back from a long day of work, and they're doing all those things, and they come home, and I'm not paying attention, I'm not, you know, doing my homework or whatever I'm supposed to be doing, and so that's why they're, you know, upset or whatever it is, right? And try to see whether maybe, you know, there is a reason for why people do what they do, right? And for us to be able to say, okay, I'm going to say, okay, what is it? You know, why are they asking me to do this? Why are they acting this way? You know, and in order to serve one another, to submit to one another, we need to put ourselves kind of in their position, in their shoes, and so that we can see it from their point of view. Okay, I get it. Now I'm more willing to do it. Another thing, just kind of a side note, but the biggest problem, communication problem, is we do not listen to understand, we listen to reply. And I think this is a big thing too, just about kind of communication, understanding each other in relationships, is that a lot of times when people are talking, a lot of times you're already starting to think about what you want to say in response to whatever topic that came up. Instead of really listening to them and really understanding them, again, this is about really seeing where they're coming from. So listen to where their heart is, listen to what they're talking about before just trying to reply or trying to do whatever it is. Okay, so that's, again, just working what it means to kind of serve one another, to submit to one another. These are things. Last thing, he says, is to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, reverence for Christ. Some people have translated this as fear for Christ, fear of Christ. But I like it more of this reverence idea, this idea of seeing what Christ has done. And this points out to both sides. If you're in a position of power or position of leadership and a follower, these goes for both ways. The first thing is this, okay? We need to see Jesus as the main example, okay? What did Jesus do, right? Jesus was God, and he became man. He chose to humble himself to come and serve you. So, if you are in a position of leadership, if you are in a position of power, you might not be God, but you have that position. But what did God do? What did Jesus do? Humbled himself, came down, became man, right? Served the people that he was to lead, right? That's what he did. And so for all of us in these leadership positions, are we doing that? Are we acting like Christ? Are we humbling ourselves? Are we lowering ourselves in our positions to serve those around? The other side of it is, let's say you are in the lower position, right, the follower position, understand that ultimately it isn't just the person that we're serving, you know, whoever is above us that we're submitting to, but it's God, right? We're submitting to Jesus as Lord, and he is Lord over all. And this is a hard thing. I think the big thing is this would work great if everyone was doing this, right? But what does that look like for us if we are, as Christians, you know, trying to submit to somebody who is not a Christian, right, who does not have the same values, who is abusing their power? You know, how do we kind of do this? And for us, this idea is, you know what, Jesus is above that person, even though that person is not doing their position right. God is. And I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to put myself, humble myself under God. God has placed this person in authority, right, so I'm going to submit to them, but ultimately I'm submitting to God, right? And so I'm still, there's still this hierarchy that, hey, God is ultimate, that I am really, really ultimately following God and not just these people, other people. And that's what he kind of says also with the master and slave, like, follow your earthly masters, but ultimately, you know, what you're supposed to do is follow God. Submit yourself, humble yourself before God, and give your life over to God. All right? So again, I know this is a difficult kind of a passage, a concept, an idea for us to really understand. But this is something what the Bible instructs us to do. If we're to love one another, how do we do it? Submit to each other. Okay, really look out for one another. Look at each other's needs. How can you serve the other person, right? As God, as Christ has loved us, let's do it in the same way. Let's pray. Ask the worship team to come up. Father God, I want to thank you again just for Jesus Christ, who you sent, who came humbly, who chose, who made that choice himself to come to earth, to die for our sins on our behalf so that we may have eternal life. And I pray that in our relationships with one another, that we would learn, that we would really learn to submit to one another, that we would see where we are and that we would do that role, whatever it is that we are supposed to do, out of our reverence for you, out of seeing what you have done for us, that we would act in the same way. And so continue to teach us how to do this. Continue to help us to be those who are really loving one another in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, shall we stand?